Hey, what's up, everybody, and welcome to another edition of I Won't Stop Until I Win. I am your host, Jose Flores, and each week I'll be sharing inspiring stories of people who push through the pain, who overcome adversity, and who keep on running their race to become the winners they are today. So thank you for spending some time with me, and let's jump right into the show. Hey, what is going on, ladies and gentlemen? Thanks again for tuning in for another week of I Won't Stop Until I Win. And as always, before I start every single show, you already know that I'd like to take a few moments to give God some thanks, because I believe that without him, none of this would be possible. So I just pray that somebody out there that's listening is encouraged, inspired, and motivated to learn more, do more, and become more. And I pray that in Jesus' name. And like always, ladies and gentlemen, you know, when I bring on a guest, I always bring on a fire individual, whether it's male or female. You know, I always bring the best of the best to you guys, because I believe in adding tremendous value. And this week is no different. Today, I have the honor of introducing to you all my friend, my brother. Man, this dude is a monster. The Young Punisher, Pedro Munoz, UFC fighter. What is going on, my brother?
What up, man? For me, it's an honor being part of here, man, on your podcast. I have a lot of love towards you and your family, and thanks for having me, man.
Yeah, man. Likewise, man. I met this guy actually at a church event. It was a men's breakfast that we was having at a church. And I told my kids, I was like, hey, guys, that guy over there, he's a UFC fighter, or he's an MMA fighter. I didn't know you were with UFC at the time, but I was like, he's an MMA fighter. And my kids were like, how can you tell? I was like, look at his ears.
That's funny.
They were like, oh, yeah. And, man, we've been following you ever since, man. Me and you have been building a relationship. We hung out a couple of times, man, and came to see you train a couple of times, brought a few of my fans, you know, a few of your fans with me that watch you and just love UFC. I brought them to American Top Team to watch you do your thing, man. And it's just amazing, brother, how you you have an amazing story, man. That's why I wanted to bring you onto the podcast. And I know that it's been a long time coming. I've been wanting to get you on for a while, but I know with you training and fighting all the time in my schedule, we just haven't been able to make it happen. But we finally got you on the show, man. And I just want to let you guys listening or watching this know that this man has an incredible, incredible story. Like, after you hear this man's story, you got to ask yourself, what the heck is my excuse for not going after what I want in life and turning my dreams into reality? So before we get into all the amazing things that you're doing right now, Pedro, just take us a little bit back to when you were younger. We all know that, you know, you're Brazilian, you grew up in Brazil, but tell us a little bit about that, how it was growing up, how tough it was growing up, and the mindset that you had, and how was your journey here to the United States?
Sure, man. I love to, you know, to share my story, you know, with people, and little by little, I feel that needed even more in my heart to share my stories with people, you know, because I believe we're here, you know, to learn and even more to inspire people, you know, and helping them a little bit the passion that we have. And I think it's, you know, listen people's stories and things that inspire us, you know, that's the reason that I'm here today. And I, you know, I bet that's the reason that you're there today doing the podcast and sending this beautiful message to people out there, you know, is so we can be able to inspire people, you know, and help them and or share our story, you know, helping them a little bit. And I think it's really important, man, that we, you know, we can share our stories so people can listen and get inspired. You know, and little by little, that's what I feel in my heart to, you know, sharing those stories to people. Like I told you before, you know, I'm saying it again. I grew up in Brazil. I was born and grew up in Brazil. I was born and raised in Brazil. And right the beginning of my life, you know, I had that passion in my heart. So I wanted to, my dad, my parents, and nobody in my life, it was nobody that raised me. My parents, they were never fighters, you know. And then I can tell people that was just the dream. And I think it was that what God put in my heart, because I was 3-4 years old. I didn't know much about life, you know. And I remember going to Blockbuster with my parents and watching Kickboxer, the other one that in English is a different name, Bloodsport, you know, Jean-Claude Van Damme and Karate Kid, all those movies, they were like, you know, I used to watch them and I was like, wow, this is very cool, man. Those guys fighting things like that. So fight was something that, you know, I always had that passion in my own. No one was like there and forcing me or telling me what to do and anything like that. You know, on the other hand, my daddy was a soccer. He's still a soccer fan. And he was pushing me. He was to be a soccer player, you know, but that was not my thing. I wanted to be a fighter. So I, you know, I remember like right at the beginning of that, I used to watch all those movies and try to copy, you know, the fight scene itself in the house and doing the splits and doing all that. Later on in life, and then there was, you know, when I like 3, 4, 5 years old, later on in life, I watched first UFCs, Royce Gracie's and all that. And I see that guy fighting and then it was a UFC, you know, it was UFC. And then in that moment, I was like, oh man, jiu-jitsu, this is super cool. You know, I had a little bit of experience with karate before, but nothing too serious until I was 13, 14 years old that I felt that I wanted I saw that guy fighting and I say, oh, I want to fight. I want to do jiu-jitsu. Couple of years later, I found a jiu-jitsu gym next to my neighborhood. And, you know, my parents went there and they registered me in the gym. And I started competing. 2 years later, I was already into jiu-jitsu big time. I was competing in things like that. But I didn't have the source, you know, the financial source so I could compete worldwide and have equipment and have this and I have that. So it was definitely, you know what, and that's what I tell people, you know, once your desire, your love, your passion for something, I believe like the life itself, what we can say, God, we put the right person our way and they will give us the right equipment, the best opportunity that we can have. And that's exactly what happened in my life. You know, I was starting competing. And then a year later, that was 14, 15, 16 years old. I was starting training like in the best, you know, better gyms and things like that. At 17 years old, I was training boxing because I wanted to fight MMA, even though I was competing jiu-jitsu, which is a different sport than MMA. But we all know it is a lot of the fighters there. You must know, you must be good at all the skills possible, standing up and grappling, wrestling, all that. So I already had that baggage with me. You know, I'm a black belt in jiu-jitsu, so I was starting doing boxing. I was already purple belt in jiu-jitsu. I was getting good in some local tournaments and things like that. So I started boxing at 17 years old, and then I got my black belt. And a year later, I was able to fight MMA. You know, in the meanwhile, you know, everything was happening. God was putting the right person in my life, you know, the coaches, the trainers, the training partners and things like that. And I fought in Brazil. My first three, four professional fights, MMA was all in Brazil. And then I came into the United States. And then when I came into the United States, it was, you know, a different ball game because it was not the reality that I was used to with. There was not the language that I grew up speaking. So I had to learn all that. And besides that, remember, I never had the financial sources. So I came right here. I had a few friends, but actually one guy that saw that I wanted to come into the United States. I wanted to fight the shows here. So they bought me They bought me a flight ticket to California. That was the place that I knew some guys. That were the place that I had a place to stay. I ended up staying in the gym, sleeping on the mats for almost over a year, you know, but I was happy with that because
Hold on. Before you go move on. So I want people to understand this. So you grew up in Brazil, you moved to the United States. How old were you when you moved?
23 years old.
23 years old. You that was your first time coming?
That was my first time traveling internationally, you know.
And that was because somebody bought you a ticket.
Yeah, so one of the guys that I used to teach, giving you like a previews, you know, of everything. But I, in Brazil, while I was living there, training, I used to teach as well. That was the way that I was making some money on the side. So, you know, I could have just afford to, you know, some expenses here and there. I used to live with my parents. So I was literally teaching so I could have extra money so I could travel and do that stuff so I could compete in other states and give myself a supplement, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
And Yeah, so it definitely there was, you know, there was a struggle. But for me, it was not a struggle because people say it was fate. But I back then, I couldn't tell you it was a fate, you know. But I felt that there was what was doing was the right thing. I never felt I was like, oh man, all my friends they're working and they're making money. I'm here training all day. I don't have one single dollar in my pocket. My parents keeping telling me, hey man, you're 16, you're 17, you're 18, and all you do, you want to train, when you still gonna start making money? So I understand from their point of view that, like I said, I grew up in a family, there's no athletes, no fighters. So it's a different type. It's a different lifestyle, you know.
So you were chasing the dream.
Yeah, my parents, they still both work for the government. So all, you know, so they really thought for you to succeed in life, you got to work 8-10 hours a day. And for you going to the gym, you know, for my parents, there was what I was doing, you know, there was definitely, I was not going to succeed, you know. But like I said, I felt that in my heart. I felt the passion from the beginning. I was happy doing what I was doing, even though I didn't have any money. I have the roof to sleep. I had my parents' house. And even though I had a lot of fights with my dad, I was like, man, hold on one second. You know what I mean? So for me to make money of this, I need to put some time in. I need to get sponsored. I don't see none of that. I say, yeah, because, you know, you have a different path. And I wish I could have know a little better so I could have a better conversation with my dad. Back in those days, I couldn't explain to myself why I was doing that. He was, you know, never the one that asked me those powerful questions, why I was doing that and all that. But it kind of works out, you know, it kind of works out because I found the right people, you know, around me. And the first time that I had the opportunity to travel internationally, it was through one of my friends, students, that bought me a flight ticket. So and then I came here. I had a friend and my manager. There was only the two guys that I knew. They still live in Los Angeles. So I came here. You know, I know my friend. I had a gym to sleep. And then my manager, I had a gym to train, and he was helping my career, getting me the fights, you know. And
your manager was from Brazil or from the United States?
He's a Brazilian guy, which, you know, grew up in Los Angeles. So he was a guy that, you know, nobody invested in me financially, not even my manager. He was a guy that who was getting me the fights once I was here, you know. He was the guy that was manager already, big fighters, Anderson Silva.
You have the same manager today?
It's the same manager that I have today, you know. Nice. So I understand though too, you know. So he's like, so he was helping me, getting me the fights. You know, I got tough fights because I came here in the United States as a black belt with 3-0 undefeated record. So all the fights that I got on those local shows, it was short notice. It was tough fights. So I knew that, but I was training every day. So I became one of the local shows in California champion with undefeated record 6-0. Later on, I signed with a bigger organization, LFA. It was, they have a UFC fight pass today on the application. And I became a champion their organization. And then I signed UFC in 2014 as 10-0 undefeated, 10 fights, 10 victories. So
2016 you know,
to 2014 I signed. So
six years you've been in the UFC.
Yeah, that's gonna be 7 years next year.
In February. I want the audience to understand this though, because I'm always talking about.
For sure. No. Yeah. You know, yeah. Go ahead. Stopping me and bringing me back anytime you want. You know what I mean?
Thank you, man. I want the listeners to understand. Like, I'm always talking about chasing your dreams, chasing your goals, no matter what. Don't let anything stop you. You know what I mean? And obviously, me being in a wheelchair, I have that type of story as well. That I didn't let my struggle, you know, become my standard, and I didn't let it stop me. But I want you guys to understand, like, this man came from another country, not from another city, not from another state. He came from another country, didn't know the language at all, moved to California with two friends that he had and slept on a mat for about a year or even more than a year, chasing his dreams, ladies and gentlemen. He didn't have any money, right? He had one person who got him the flight over here. In other words, what I'm saying is that he did, Pedro, you did everything that you needed to do to chase your dreams from that you had at 13 years old from watching Bloodsport and all those different, you know, fighting shows and saying at 13 years old, man, I like that. That's something that I would like to do. And then kept on chasing it until it became a reality. And here you are 6 years into the UFC. And I, ever since the day I met you, I've been following you. I watch all your fights, me and my wife and my family. We're in the bedroom just shouting and cheering you on. And it's just amazing to see, man. Like the moment I met you and we got to hang out and vibe and I met your sister, you know, I just knew there was something special about you. And not because you were in the UFC, just because you shared your heart with me, man. And one of the things I remember this. One of the things I remember you telling me before one of the times we were hanging out, I asked you, what do you do with all the equipment that you have? Because you have a lot of sponsors, they send you equipment, and you know, you use the equipment, I think you said, for 6 months to a year. And then I said, well, what do you do with all the equipment that you get that you don't use? And you said, I send it back to Brazil for all the kids over there that don't have the money to buy equipment, to buy gloves, to buy whatever. I send it back to Brazil, or when I travel, I bring it with me, I go to the gyms and I give it to all the kids over there. And I thought that was just so special, man. And I love that because you hear all of these stories about people becoming successful and making a lot of money and doing all these things. And sometimes they forget where they came from. But when you said that to me, it really touched my heart because I'm like, man, this guy is something special, man. Goes back, sends all this stuff back to Brazil to the communities that are less fortunate, that don't have the money. And you make sure that stuff gets into the right hands so that you can help those kids let them know that dreams still come true because you're a living testimony of that.
For sure, man. And yeah, that's something that I have been doing since I was here, like first year, second year, I was making no money, leaving the gym. And I was getting a lot of equipment here, you know, through people, through some of the sponsors and things like that. And then I always had that to give back, you know. That was something that I was like, if I'm getting blessed and getting all these equipment, all these clothes, all these shoes and that, so let me empty it up so I can get more. And by empty it up, I was, you know, just packing a bunch of bags while I was going back to Brazil. Today, I don't travel to Brazil as much. You know, I stay here special right now through this pandemic, you know, so I have been in Brazil for over a year and a half, you know, and that's something that I feel in my heart little by little. It's maybe open a foundation or something so I can help more people, not even in Brazil, but I, you know, so many people that here, especially where we live, you know, in South Florida, I was able to meet a couple guys that have a project here down in Miami, some of them right here that help teach, that helps kids and teenagers from, you know, low-income family, and they help them with the wrestling and jiu-jitsu. So I was very happy to meet these guys, you know, and I offered them my help so I can help our, you know, with the foundation, things like that, you know. And it's something that, you know, that I see myself in having in the near future, you know, have my own foundation so I can help people, you know, here where we live, South Florida. And as soon as, you know, it's getting bigger, and then we can help with different, you know, states and things like that. And besides that, not even, you know, I feel that desire in my heart, not even giving those kids like an opportunity to train equipment, but giving them like a little bit of my, you know, my stories of life, you know, determination, that, you know, definitely what we need is not money at all. And I'm the person that I can't speak through myself here, that if we need, we have the desire, we have the passion, we have the love, anything's possible.
Now I want to get into this because I know this is a good topic. I saw your last fight against Edgar, and my wife and I, we both watched it, man. And we thought that you got robbed, to be honest with you. We saw the fight. Anybody who saw the fight knows that fight should have gone to you. And we know that, you know, it's politics. It's fighting politics. The guy was, well, you know, he's been involved for a long time. He was like a fan favorite. But if you watch the fight, man, you were controlling the octagon. You were the aggressor. You were going after him constantly through the whole fight. and you were beating him down too. What are your thoughts on that, man?
Yes, man. That has been almost 2 months after the fight, so I had a lot of challenge to understand what happened in the fight and things like that. And I could have been here telling you a thousand different stories, you know, but in the reality, it comes to one thing. This is, you know, I did what I was able to do. I trained my butt off to go there and get the finish. Frankie Edgar, we all know he's, you know, one of the legends right there in UFC that is still fighting. Before, I was just looking why this, why that, and I was not focusing on the positive things about that fight. And today I can tell you, you know, and that's exactly why is the reason that I accept to talking in public like that about the fight, because I want to make sure that I'm not speaking out of the emotions and things like that. So I wanted to take the time to understand and all that. And what I can tell you that, you know, I was there, I was chasing a guy that I grew up watching this sport, you know, a guy that has been a champion in different divisions, you know, a guy that's really good that we all know. And I didn't let that stop me. I was literally facing one of the biggest opponents that I have fought so far, and I didn't let all the statistics intimidate me. And if you watch the fight, you can see first 10 seconds of the fight until the 10 seconds left of the fight, I was giving everything that I had myself to try to get the finish, to knock him out and submit him. I hurt him with a powerful shot, and then in the end I was not able to get the result that I was expecting. You know why? It could be so many reasons, you know, could be so many reasons that I try to understand all of them. But bottom line, it's get it out of my something that we cannot control, the results, the judges, the odds, and that, you know, what I can tell you that every time that I step in the octagon, I always fight with a lot of desire, respect to my opponents as a human being, but as a fighter, I want to beat them what they're good at, and that's what I like to do. And you know, and that's the message, that's the attitude that I show to people, that you know, when I go there, I fight with my heart, you know. So you know, most of the time the fights goes in my way, sometimes they don't go in my way, and no matter what I keep in training hard, no matter what I keep in making the adjustments, so I can go always getting better and better. And I can, you know, being a part of my stories too, that, you know, I like to fight aggressive. I fight with my heart. And I'm in the gym every day working my butt off.
No, that's great, man. And anybody that watches you or knows you, they know that you train your butt off, that you work your butt off. How's your mindset when you go into the octagon and you don't come out with the expectation that you had? You know, you lost that fight, obviously. How's your mindset and how do you recover from that? You know, because I know some fighters, they let it affect them. Some fighters are like, hey, you know what? It is what it is. I go back to the drawing board. I go back to the gym and train, and I come back and I'm better next time I come back. So what's your mindset after you lose a fight like that?
It's not easy. You know what I mean? I'm trying to make it easier as I become more experienced, you know, because something that I haven't been doing and something that I still wanted to do it for a while, you know, that's my passion. Such a beautiful fight like that. I didn't go my way, let that affect me. And I try to learn from every single fight. I try to learn from every single victory. I try to learn every single defeat. You know, I know I'm extremely competitive. You know, so for me, losing a match or losing like a game or anything, something that it doesn't go good with myself. I'm very competitive, you know, so I like to compete. I like to win. But things like that, man, we got to just be able to adapt as life, you know, because something like I was telling you before, it's not in our control. You know, what is my control? My control is going to the gym, training every day hard, with a goal, with the mindset to go there and finish my opponents. Why? Because we know when the fight goes to the judges, a lot of things could be involved. Politics, favoritism, odds. We don't know. You know, we don't know so many things. But I try to focus what I'm capable to do. Is there and finish my opponent, you know, and that's why, you know, a lot of my fights, they're like highlights because it's great moment, because I fight with the passion first, and second one very competitive, you know. Going like that, going a fight like that with such a big name, you know, my mindset, I'm always ask, sometimes doubts come, I know I'm not a robot, doubts come, you know, I'm like, oh, I'm sure, like, I'm good, sure, like, I'm not sure that I train enough for this fight, so things, thoughts like that come into my mind, but I pay attention on them. I try to pay attention what that thought is showing me. And then I try to identify. I say, this is a fearful thought or this is a faithful thought. Oh, no, it's just fear talking. All right, so let me answer back with that. Okay, so Pedro, are you sure? I'm literally having this conversation as the fight's approaching. And then I answer myself. And every time that I answer myself with a powerful and the positive thoughts, you know. And like, for example, are you sure you're waiting for this? I'm like, hell yeah, I'm sure for this. Every day of my life since I was 5 years old until now, that's those moments that I think all day long. That's the moments that I sacrifice from my family, spending many, many hours in the gym. That's what I sacrifice my brain cells going there and doing like a hard sparring sessions, you know what I mean? Breaking my foot during practice, breaking my hand during practice. It is because the money. No, because I didn't have money before. Today I was able to, you know, getting a decent life for me, for my family. I keep getting hurt like that. Yeah, but before I didn't get any money. I was not fighting this big venue. And so it's not the pain. It's not that. So every time it's something, oh, Pedro, you're going to fight the fear. The fear voice, the fearful voice come like, oh, you're going to fight, but you're going to get hurt again. You're going to break this. You're going to get stitches that. But in reality, man, that's first. I believe that's what my call, you know. Now I'm trying to understand that, yes, my call is to fight, but I have to find all the things that I have to do around. And I believe that little by little, meeting people like you, some other guys that, all right, so one of my calls is to fight, but what is the other one? Because we all know through the word of God and through the lot of life, the real happiness is when we're able to give back.
That's right.
So, and that's then right. I just trying to use all this experience and like having life and all that. So I could give it back, you know, like something that we mentioned here before, by inspiring people and lift people up and through sports or not through sports, you know, and telling them that, you know, the all the fear, the fearful thoughts that we have, we got to be able to stop them and allow a positive, you know, thought, a faithful thought come into our mind, because I believe we came here to learn, of course, but even more than that, we have a beautiful life, you know. We gotta just focus what we have and that what we can control in the exact moment. I could be sad right now, you know. You could be sad too. And to be honest with you, you know, even though that we don't talk all the time and things like that, I think about you all the time, man. You're the guy that you like too. When I met you, I felt such like a strong feelings towards you and things like that. And then I was a week, 2 weeks after my fight, kind of feeling like sorry for myself. I was like, why am I feeling sorry for myself? Because I lost. Yeah, I hate to lose. Yeah. But what I can do so I can be better at? Oh, training more. I already training a lot. I sacrifice a lot of time from my family to train, to do all this stuff. What else can I do? Moving my diet. All right. I put a good effort in my diet to be in shape. Supplements. Yeah, I do that. Type of trainings. Yeah, my mental coach, yes, I do that. So what can I do? And my answer is I try to focus on the positive in everything. All right. So luckily the last fight, it was a hell of a fight. It was back and forth. But what happened one day if the opponent just connects the punches or submitting me and things like that? Oh, I'm gonna focus in my fight against Frankie Edgar because that fight it was back and forth. But what happened if I had a, that never happened to me before. Thank God for that. But it never happened to me that I have a bad night. like I get knocked out or submit, and all my losses, it was a very close, it was a very close decision, you know? And I believe that all of them could go either way. So, but even though, you know, even though if, like I said, you know, I go there and I had a bad day, I get submitting or knocked out, I have the power and I have to be able, even though, to focus on the positive, man. What's going to be the positive in situations like that? I cannot tell you right now because it never happened, but I do believe that God in that moment would, you know, put it like the right answers, you know, and in our heart. But I do believe that with situations like that, you know, God doesn't leave us, you know, God will come up with the right answer. He would never let us alone, you know. And besides that, we got to make the effort every day to be close to Him, you know, learn about not even what we, you know, not learn like the basic stuff, but tap into to our feelings, to our heart, you know, to emotions and things like that. So we can just make the best, you know, in our life every day, man, for any area in our life.
Yeah, yeah, for sure, man. Now tell me this, two more questions before I let you go, because I know you, I don't want to take too much time away from you and your family, but just two more questions. Do you have any specific routines or habits that you do before every fight?
Right now, as you know, my daughter is getting older, going to 9 years in marriage and things like that. So I really try to break my routine so I can give them more fun times, you know, because of my routine, you know, as a fighter, as an athlete, as a passion, not even a fighter, as a passion, because I love what I do, you know, and my goal is to become the world champion. And if that doesn't happen, because for any reasons out there, you know, I'm not going to let this define me. I try to break some of my routines, you know, to give my family some of the time, you know, because besides being an athlete, besides being a fighter, I'm very passionate for what I do. And, you know, I spend many, many hours training and try to get better in what I do. You know, I do have the desire one day to become the world champion, but I cannot allow that to be the only reasons for me to be happy or live life. You know what I mean? I gotta just, like I said, I gotta focus on the beautiful things around me for some reasons. If it happens, yeah, it'll be great. I can use that to inspire even more people. But if that doesn't happen, I still have the power to overturn that in a positive way and still inspire people, you know. So what I'm trying to do, I'm trying to learn, you know, different techniques so I can have, you know, be able to adapt to, you know, to up and downs with life and self, and try to adapt, you know, because now I cannot just go ahead and do what I have to do and train and things like that. You know, I gotta make sure my daughter having, you know, a quality time, my wife is having a quality time, my stepdaughter is having a quality time. I make sure what I'm doing, it is a good for, you know, for me, for myself, for, you know, things that I believe in. And yeah, so going, my routine, you know, is basically, it's the same, you know, just we spend a lot of times like training, we spend a lot of times getting all the, you train every day and you keep doing the same thing. Yeah, but we know that, you know, through repetition over and over and over, that's when we change, let's say, a bad habits, you know what I mean? And we all develop bad habits in trainings and life and a bunch of stuff. So through repetition and be conscious, not even go in the gym and doing, like, be conscious for what we were doing, you know, and doing that over and over, that's how we become better, you know. And I believe that it's in other areas in our lives too. Somebody that has a bad habit to eat bad quality of foods, or people that to drink, or smokers, anything that we do consciously, and we know that conscious what is good was not for us.
That's right.
Through repetition over and over and over, that's when it becomes a habit, you know, bad habit or a good habit.
Now, when's your next fight?
January 30th.
January 30th, and who you going to be fighting? Can you let us know it?
Yeah, I'm fighting Jimmy Rivera.
Jimmy Rivera, nice.
Yes,
nice.
Tough opponent too. He's one of the top 10. I am number 6 in the rankings in my division. He's number 8. Tough guy in his UFC. You know,
It's coming for your spot.
You know, it's a little bit different in boxing, you know, because here the organization doesn't try to build a fighter and things like that. The organization itself tries to throw firefights, and whoever wins, they promote that fighter and things like that. So no easy fights. Since my fight's number 1 in UFC, and 2 is going to be my fight number 15 in the organization. I have just been fighting, you know, the best of the world, you know. And so it's a challenge too. But I love what I do, you know. And
we're here. Fresh with a new fight, January 30th, ladies and gentlemen. Jimmy Rivera against the young Punisher. I always bet on the underdog, man. And the young Punisher, you always got my vote, man. I be always cheering for you. And so have you started training now for that, or when do you start training, or how's
that look? After my fight, I took like a couple weeks off from the gym, but I started running in the first week because that was, even though there was a hard fight, I was not too hurt. So I was able to do my morning running. You probably see it on social media that I posted,
stories, yeah.
You know, and then little by little, I started going back in the gym, you know, training, because besides my job, I like what I do, you know, so I like to be in the gym. Even though I don't have a fight coming up, I'm always training. If I'm not training, I'm helping someone getting ready for their fight, getting ready for fight. And so I was training, and then I got the opportunity to fight. I was already training, so now it's just doing some adaptations with strategy, trainings, and things like that. And January 30 is going to be, again, a special night.
Yeah, I can't wait, buddy. Listen, one final comment. What advice would you give to somebody that's listening, Pedro, who, you know, may not have the resources, may not have the finances, you know, that has a dream and they think that their dream may be impossible to obtain? You know, the name of this podcast is I Won't Stop Until I Win. Obviously, you haven't stopped until you won. You came to United States, you got into UFC, and you've been fighting, and you've been winning, and you've been doing your thing. And I'm talking about in the grand scheme of life itself, you are considered a winner in many people's books. And just like I am, because we had the odds that have been stacked against us, and we, you know, based on our background and where we come from, we weren't supposed to win, but here we are, we're winning. What advice would you have for that person that's listening that may feel like it's hard to win, or they can't win, or their dream will never come true? What advice would you give to that person that's listening?
Yeah, that's definitely a good question, man. A good question. And I tell people that all the time. I tell myself that too all the time. You know, it's a good reminder I couldn't tell you 100 things, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. But one thing that mattered the most is surround yourself. And even the Bible saying that, even in Portuguese, I was listening to that today. And in Portuguese, we say that as boas companhias, as más companhias diferem as boas companhias. Basically, the bad influence, that the bad people that... When I say bad people, I'm not saying someone is evil. You know, it could be our parents. You know what I mean? My parents was like that, very fearful. Don't fight because you're going to get hurt. Don't do this, don't do that. You know, it doesn't mean that they don't love you. Sometimes they want to overprotect you. But I really think that it's surround yourself with people that already reached that dream, that goal, you know, and basically surround yourself with people that has the same dream, the same desires you have, that, you know, you're gonna starting seeing how they face challenge. You're gonna see how they train. You're gonna see how they think, you know, and you're gonna have that you're gonna learn that habit to surround yourself with people. I'm not saying better than you, because I don't believe we are not better than anybody, but it has the better mindset, let's say. And then your head says there, you know,
yeah.
mindset, I believe that too. You know, I think if we surround ourselves, you know, with people that they don't have many goals in life, or people that they don't have the you know, the desire to go after the dreams, or some people that don't even know what are they gonna do it. You know, if you wanna be a cop, for example, if you wanna be a singer, you gotta surround yourself, you know, with people that has the same dream, the same desire, you know, and that are skills that you have so you can learn from them. Believe that, you know, surround ourselves with people that has the same, you know, the mindset that we do. Or if you don't have, see what they do to get the mindset.
That's right.
It's going to help you to develop your own mindset so you can reach, you know, the goal, and you can learn from them. I try to surround, you know, myself and learn people, you know, that has a good, like, life experience, life story of, you know, like you, to overcome obstacles and try always to be a better person, giving back and things like that. A lot of the people that, you know, I grew up and people that I was friends that they don't serve me anymore. I literally don't try. I just don't engage, you know, with them. Try to be, you know, respectfully and friend, but I don't engage, you know, I don't engage with them. I gotta to choose who I'm gonna share my time with.
I love it, man. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Surround yourself with people who are already doing what you want to do, who are already at the level that you want to get to. Follow them, study them, hang around them, and get as much information as you can from them so that you can start to be like-minded just like they are. I appreciate you, Pedro, for jumping on here and spending some time with me, man. I know your little daughter's excited for you to come back and give her a big hug and hang out with her for a little bit. So I just want to thank you for coming on to the show, man. I appreciate you, man. I love you, man. And thanks again for coming on.
Sure, man. Thank you for having me, man. It's a pleasure.
Thanks, everybody, for tuning in to this episode of I Won't Stop Until I Win. Once again, I am your host, Jose Flores, and make sure you visit me at joseinspires.com, where you'll see links to all my social media, where I'm bringing content like this every single day on how you can win and keep on winning. We have new episodes dropping every week, so make sure you guys like, subscribe, and share with other winners so that everyone can keep up with what's going on. Once again, I appreciate you tuning in, and we'll catch you on the next episode of I Won't Stop Until I Win.